faith in myself because I've in the past proven myself to be faithful to the things that I am working towards.
I have faith in the potential of the human, of human beings, what we are capable of, what we can create, what we can build.
Friendship.
Faith in friendship. Faith in my parents. Faith in family.
Faith in love.
Relationships. Love. That we'll find love someday.
We have faith in people we don't even know more than we have faith in people that we trust more than anything. You drive down the road every day in a car, and you have faith that the person in the oncoming lane isn't going to cross over and hit you. But you question everything about everybody that you trust more than anything.
I'd like to say God, but I definitely don't have enough of an insight on it. But I've always had that belief that I have faith in Him, that He will help me out.
Yes, anything that has to do with, as far as Jesus Christ goes, yes, I have multiple amounts of faith.
In God, yeah. I'm a Christian, so there you have it.
This morning we're talking about faith being something that is omnidirectional, meaning that faith needs to be directed. Listen what the word of the Lord says, Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1. It says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Look at the first few words there of Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is. I want to welcome you this morning to week number one of our brand new fall series on faith is. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to examine this thing that is called faith. A subject that is so vitally important that the Bible declares without faith, without this thing called faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, friends, I want you to understand right from the get-go of this series that there is some good news about faith, and that is that each and every one of us have been given a measure of faith. Faith resides in us, like heart, lungs, and liver. Faith resides within every single person. You see, faith was part of God's creation package. When God shaped Adam from the dust of the earth and he created him a trichotomy. Trichotomy meaning of three parts. Man is comprised of a body, a soul, and a spirit. And as God created Adam and Eve, not only as a trichotomy, He gave them a measure of faith. Hebrews tells us all about faith, but as you turn to Romans chapter 12, it talks us about the application of this faith and how faith has been invested in each and every one of us by God. And let's look at what it says here in Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 1. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man," say with me, "a measure of faith." Look at it one more time. According as God has dealt or given to every man the measure of faith. When you hear that term, this measure of faith, you see, faith is always a gift from God. Faith is not something we merely conjure up. Faith is something that has been given to us. It is part of the package of life. God, when He creates a man, woman, boy, or girl, He gives them this measure of faith. Romans 12 and verse 3 from the New American Standard Bible reads this way: God has allotted to each a measure of faith. You know, from birth on, we exercise, we invest that measure of faith, and we do so all day, every day, all life long. Sometimes we operate by faith consciously. We think about, we've thought it through cognitively. We are applying our faith. Other times it is unconsciously, but we all live every single day, all life long. We apply this measure of faith that God has given to us. Our newest little granddaughter, Chloe, which is only 11 days old, from birth on has been already exercising her measure of faith. And I want you to think back to your sons, your daughters, and even your very life. For you too, from birth on, you began to exercise this measure of faith. Out of all the voices one hears as a child, the voice of mom and dad becomes that very special voice. And it is a measure of faith that is reaching out. And it is that faith that is saying, I can trust, out of all the people on this planet, I can trust the voice and the person of mom and dad. Faith of a child says, they will meet my need at 2 a.m., at 4 a.m., at 6 a.m., and whenever I call, it is part of their faith. They believe when they cry out that there will be a response. They have a faith mom and dad will not abandon. They have a faith they can trust the touch of mom and dad, that will always be kind, it will always be gentle. Even in times of correction, there will always be this faith that says, I know they mean only the best. Faith says, they will not drop me. You know, I did some mathematical figures the other day, and our little Chloe is 19 inches tall. I'm 74 inches tall. Now, I begin to think, well, if I were to be Chloe, and someone was to hold me with the same dimensions, that would mean that someone would be holding me approximately 20 feet in the air. Now that little one looks up at mom and dad and they have that faith. It is a faith that they will not be dropped, they will not be abandoned. Mom and dad will only do good for me. That's the kind of faith that a child has. So like little Chloe this morning, we all live our lives, and we live our lives from the very beginning by faith. Faith that we would one day realize that there is a source of all of this faith, and that this source of faith has come from God Himself. And so we all live by faith. Faith that we would awaken this morning and enjoy another new day. We went to bed last night with that kind of a faith. We may not have consciously thought about it, but we had faith that our hearts would beat, our lungs would breathe, and that we throughout the night hours would be kept safe from danger and harm. It was a faith that we had when we went to sleep last night that we'd rise up in the morning and see a brand new day. We had faith this morning as we went out to our automobiles that our automobile would start. Now, we may have had automobile problems in the past that cause us at times maybe to even, you know, doubt whether or not it's going to be reliable every time, every day. But nonetheless, we had that kind of a faith this morning that when we would arise, go out to our automobiles, that they would start and we would drive them to church. Faith that the traffic would stay on the right side of the road. Every vehicle we passed by, there was a certain amount of faith that said, they're going to stay in their lane, I will stay in mine, everything's going to be okay. Faith that the bridge that we passed over that was built by the lowest bidder would not collapse. It was, again, it was faith. As we drove through, some of us, through the tunnel at 894, there was a faith that that tunnel was going to stay up and not collapse upon us. See, without faith, we would all just stay in bed and we would hope the house wouldn't fall in on us, just afraid to go about anything in daily life. We need to understand then that faith is omnidirectional. Faith, like a laser or like a fire hose or even a gun, faith must be aimed. Each of us volitionally chooses where we will direct our God-given faith. Like a 360 degree of the compass, faith can be aimed in so many different directions. We can aim our faith towards science. And there are those that have placed science above God. And when science fails, their life seems to crumble. Others have placed their faith in technology. Others still in medicine. Others in doctors. Others in education. You see, we all use our faith. We're all directing our faith. And we all know someone who has directed all their hopes and dreams in one particular category of life. Some have directed all their faith in politics, that somehow someone in the White House is going to straighten out all the problems of America. Someone in the Kremlin is going to take care of everything in Russia, and so on and so forth around the world. They placed all of their trust, all of their hopes, all of their dreams in someone to solve this politically. Others place it all in government. Government will meet my need. When I do not have sufficiency, government will come alongside and they will meet my need. Others have placed all their hope in military might. Still others, possibly in a lawyer, in judges, in courts, or possibly in the stock market and the stockbroker. This is my source of faith. Or religion. Religion is going to somehow make sure that I'm right in the sight of God. Or maybe they place their hopes and dreams in a pastor, in a pastor's words, or in a priest. You see, the world is filled with individuals who have chosen to place their God-given faith in one of these categories. And yet, beyond these categories, there are many that have placed their God-given faith solely in themselves. They consider themselves to be autonomous. They're self-sufficient. When you listen to their conversations will always say something like this: I'll work this out. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm going to work this out. Others will say, I need no one. Belief in God is for the weak-minded. God is a crutch, and I do not need a crutch, nor do I need someone to think for me. Anything I cannot do, they will say, cannot be done. And it's their lifestyle. They have placed their measure of faith, the measure of faith that God gave them even at birth and has nurtured a lifelong time, they've placed their faith in themselves. Individuals that do such a thing will find that their life is doomed at some time or another to hit the wall. You see, in every life there comes a time, try as we may, life spins out of control. Our control. A time when we say, there's nothing I can do about this. I've done my best. I've tried my best. I've thought this thing through. I've labored. I've sought out the best of friends and relationships. And here I am. Life is out of control. And in that moment, their entire life seems to collapse. Then comes the stress. Then comes the worry and the anxiety and the fret. All because they've placed all of their confidence and all their hopes, all their dreams. They place all of their faith, the measure of faith given to them by God. They've used that faith for themselves. You know, the Apostle Paul, when you begin to read throughout the epistles, you'll discover here was a man with great confidence, but his confidence was not a self-confidence. He says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, if you read the first portion of it, it sounds like self-confidence. But when you read the entire text, He says, I can do all things. Yes, I can face all circumstances, all situations of life, the known and the unknown, all things. I can do all things, but he says, through Christ, which strengthens me. You see, Paul's confidence was a result of placing and investing his faith in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul was God confident. And there is a difference between being self-confident and being God confident. And when you are God confident, there is a consciousness that there is nothing that will ever come your way in life that is bigger than the God you serve, greater than the one that said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So Paul, he said, I can face all things, I can do all things, and I do them through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul was God confident. We've all seen others that place their faith in their friends. You know, friends are great. And I would encourage, you need friends in your life. You need individuals you can call and individuals you can encourage and individuals that will encourage you. But many times, friends can be very fickle, and I think we've all learned that as well. You know, we live in a day where social media has given us brand new terms, and the brand new terms about friendship. You know, it's easy to friend somebody, befriend somebody, and look at your list of friends on Facebook or, you know, Instagram or some others and wonder who half those people are. But they're supposedly under the category of being a friend. And then you begin to think about, well, you know, I haven't heard or haven't seen a posting from them for a while. And you look and you find you've been dropped. You've been unfriended. Your messages have been blocked. Off time, we'll never know why some of these events have happened, but nonetheless, these were once friends or at least acquaintances of ours, and we place our hopes and dreams in the fact that some way, somehow, they would meet the emotional and the very necessary needs of life when they would arise, but then we come to discover that we've been dropped. You know, Jesus, in his life and ministry here on this earth, he experienced mass defection. One time as he was preaching, and he was preaching hard, the Bible says the crowds all began to walk away. And Jesus turned to the disciples, and he said to the disciples, are you going to leave me as well? And it was Peter that said, to whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. But Jesus experienced what it was like to have the crowds walk away. But he also experienced the pain of having a dear friend walk away as well. Judas abandoned him and sold him out for a few pieces of silver. The Apostle Paul, when you look at his life, you'll discover the very same thing about him. He experienced both mass and personal defection many times in his life. He was abandoned by Demas. He was forsaken by John Mark. And he came to realize rather quickly, there's only one that will never leave me, never forsake me, and that is the Lord God. And I must place my faith in him. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6, these words are found there. Be strong and courageous. You know, those are good words for us today. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. As you leave Egypt and as you make your journey towards the promised land, God said, do not be afraid. Do not be terrified because the Lord your God goes with you. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. I love Psalm 23, that Psalm of David, where he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me. David had a calm assurance that whatever he would face in life, because his faith was in God, and he had chosen volitionally to place his faith in God, that whatever he faced, including death itself, he would not have to worry or fret. Isaiah 43 is one of my favorites, where the Lord God says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. He said, when you walk through the waters of life, in the deep places, you will not drown. And when you go through the hot fires of affliction, he said, the flame will not kindle upon you, will not be burned. I'm so glad to know when we place our faith in God, and as we've placed this measure of faith that God has given to each and every one of us, as we choose to aim our faith towards him and return our faith and place our hopes and dreams all in him, when we face life, he is there. When we are on the mountaintop, he is there. When we go to the valley, he is there. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he promised us we will not go alone in that hour. He would be with us in that time because we are people of faith. Now in Psalm 20, in verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Isn't that good? The psalmist David, he knew something about war, and of course he had many wars that he was engaged in. And he said this, some place all of their trust, their hopes, their dreams, they have placed their faith in chariots and some in horses. But as for us believers, followers of the Lord God, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Friends, as a nation, we must be careful that we do not place our hopes and our dreams and our faith in aircraft carriers, ballistic missiles, F-18s, and the like. We must trust in the name of the Lord our God. And that is our faith. Now, friends, God has created each and every one of us. He's created you. He created you for an intimate personal relationship with him. You need to understand this morning, you're no accident. You are a creation of Almighty God. Leah Zell, having been raped and then bearing the child that was a result of the rape, said this, men may choose when to make love, and I would not call rape love. Men may choose when to make love, but only God chooses when to make life. When God lovingly created you, he created you body, soul, and spirit. And so that you might know him, and so that you might have fellowship with him, he gave you a measure of faith, saving faith. That faith you possess this morning, that faith is omnidirectional. You can direct it in any direction you choose. You can place it in yourself. You can place it in friends and others, merely in a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter, a business relationship. You can place it in science or technology, or you can choose to place your faith in Jesus Christ. I came across a story yesterday. It was in the New York Times. It's the story of Kim Swasey. Maybe some of you read it. Kim, 23 years of age, from Missouri, diagnosed with incurable cancer. This cancer began to ravage her body very quickly. She came across a website, and it's from the Cryonics Institute. Here is the exact web ad that she read. Imagine a world free of disease, death, and aging. At the Cryonics Institute, we believe that day is inevitably coming, and cryonics is presently our best chance of getting there. Our mission is to extend human lifespans by preserving the body using technologies with the goal of revival by future science. 23 years of age, dying of cancer, longing for immortality. She moved to Scottsdale, not far from the Cryonics Institute. A team waited just blocks away when the last moments of life were ebbing away from Kim. And as soon as she took her last breath, the team was called in. The circulatory system was immediately once again restarted just to keep things flowing through the brain. Because Kim believes this, that her mind is going to one day be placed in a healthy body and she will live on once again. She will literally, the words that she uses, she'll be rebooted for another time in another life. All of her hopes and all of her dreams are in science. All of her hopes and dreams, as a matter of fact, when you read the ad from the Cryonics Institute, it sounds a lot like Revelation chapter 20 and 21. Promises of a place where there will be no more death, no more sorrow, that people will live forever. Friends, let me tell you, you can place your faith in cryonics, and that is what Kim Swazi had done. There is a documentation and a story that is just phenomenal in yesterday's paper. You see, God, when He created you, He gave you this measure of faith. If I were to ask five people to come up here, and if I were to take each one of the five and say, here's $1,000, here's $1,000, here's $1,000, here's $1,000, here's $1,000. This is my gift to you. You can do anything you choose with $1,000. And with that $1,000, some may go out and say, well, you know, I've been over my head in bills. I'm going to pay off some bills. That's what I'm going to do. Someone else may go out and say, you know, I've got to find a used car. I've been walking for a long time and, you know, trying to hitch a ride with someone. And I realize $1,000 won't buy me a Mercedes, but it'll give me, you know, some wheels. Maybe someone else would go out and say, you know, my mom and dad, they've really been financially strapped for a long, long time. And I want to bless them. I'm going to give my $1,000 to them. Maybe someone would go out and, you know, buy some new clothes. They're going to spend $1,000, and don't take long to spend $1,000 on nice clothing. And so that's their $1,000. God gave you faith. And with that faith, you can choose to place it either in Him, all of your hopes, all your dreams, your future, or you can place it in technology. That becomes then your choice. You can place it in the stock market and say, I don't trust God. You can place it in 1,000 different directions, just like the 360 degrees of a compass. You can spend your faith however you choose. But there's a day that's coming, friends, when everything else is going to fail, but God will not fail. Friends may abandon you. Friends may defriend you. They may block you. They may walk away from you. But God said, I'll always be there. And this day, we make up our minds. You have been given a measure of faith. I want you to say with me, I have what? I have faith. I have faith. You don't have to go running around trying to find it somewhere. God has given you faith. And that faith is something from the smallest little baby lives their daily lives, that they have faith that as they cry out, Mom and Dad's going to come. That is the faith that you had last night when you went to bed and you set the alarm clock because you expected that you would wake up this morning. That was faith. It was faith when you went out and put the key in the car and turned the switch and began to start that automobile. It was faith. It was faith as you drove down the road this morning. It was faith. It was faith that said, I can safely be under this roof and it's going to collapse upon us. Friends, in all of these areas of life, these things may fail. Buildings may collapse. Cars may cross over the center line. There may be times when, you know, all of life, every friend, everyone else around abandons you. But you can always count on God. You can always count on Him. Faith. The first three words of Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is. Say with me, now faith is. One more time, now faith is. Hallelujah. Let's place our faith in Jesus Christ.